All right, welcome back to Tangible Talks Podcast. We're excited to get into this episode. We were briefly talking before we started recording that we both couldn't sleep because we were excited about this next episode. So we've got a lot of really good things to talk about with learning about Exodus 1 through 5. So yeah, I don't know how many times I can say excited in one sentence, but here we go. I'm excited. What about you?
I'm excited too, so I can add that to the sentence as well. I love Exodus, and I learned so much in Exodus, and I keep going back to Exodus. So maybe God's trying to tell me something in this entire process. Of course, He is.
I definitely think Exodus is a really nice place to start because it's a narrative story, right? It's
yes,
very much story-based, and it's a little easier to digest than some of the other types of stories that are in the Bible. At least that's the case for me.
You mean like Leviticus?
Yes, Deuteronomy? I do not like Leviticus.
Yeah, when you start reading the Bible through in the year Genesis, it works really good. Exodus gets good. Then you got Leviticus. But yes. We're not there today. We're in Exodus, and isn't that a lovely place to be?
It is. And yeah, we're really focusing on Exodus 1 through 5. And we titled this In Your Hand, and we'll kind of get into that later. But to me, these passages, we're talking about a series on change. And we briefly mentioned that last week. But to me, these passages really set up preparing for a change.
Yes, I agree with that. And how that change comes about and the reaction of the people who are basically confronted with God.
Yes.
And how are they going to handle that?
Yes.
So something we all encounter, something that every one of us is going to encounter, is a confrontation, an encounter, an interview with God, and He's going to come at us. He's going to approach us in such a way, because He knows us so well, He created us, that we can't go, I don't know, was that God or not? You're going to know. And Moses definitely knew. So Exodus gets us ready to meet Moses and to see how God wants to deal with not just Moses, but all of the children of Israel, what that looks like and why it's important.
Yeah. And I think something to think about when we're going through this, I know for me, particularly when I started reading the Bible, and just a little background, I think I'd mentioned this to you probably multiple times throughout the past 5 years, but for whatever reason, reading scripture to me is hard. It is just something that I have not had a huge desire to do. And I think when I was reading through these five, I had a thought. It's like a lot of these stories are really extreme. And coming from a place of living in the United States, we are a very blessed society. You know, we really, most of us, I should caveat, really don't have to suffer through a lot of pain in our everyday lives. I mean, we definitely experience pain and grief, and I don't want to discount that. But when you look at other parts of the world, and particularly back in history, we've got it pretty good. And sometimes these really extreme stories are not only off-putting, but a little hard to relate to. So I think they're extreme for a reason. And I want to keep a broader frame of mind open, because people all over the world are experiencing very different experiences. And no matter what you're going through, I think these stories being a little extreme in nature, it even reaches people who are going through the most difficult and hardest obstacles that sometimes we can't even really imagine.
I studied under Dr. Michael Heiser, and he helped so much with me understanding how to approach the Bible. The Bible was written, I mean, it was written thousands of years ago, and the society was nowhere near our society. And trying to put that into everyday language, if I tried to explain some terminology to my great grandmother today, she wouldn't understand that. You know, oh, just go online. Yeah, I just sent it to you. Just take a picture and message me. And it what? Because yeah. She was born in 1888. There were cameras around, but not everybody had them. Take a picture and send it to me. She couldn't email. Have grasped that. An email. And now we get it. I get it. But you know, there was before this, big difference.
Right.
So sometimes you just need to put yourself into that situation. And if you do, it's great. Also, the Bible was never meant to be a science book. And you can't go into it trying to get it to fit you. You need to fit into it. And so sometimes you'll look at the words. Sometimes you'll need to ponder on it. Sometimes you just need to expand on it. You need to walk around and talk about it just like what we're doing. And so if you will embrace the weird stuff and realize it's the weird stuff's in there for a reason and generally is to get your attention. So let's jump in to Exodus. Okay.
We want to kind of summarize Exodus 1 just a little bit.
So Exodus 1 is talking about the children that went down, what their names were, and then who Pharaoh is. There was a new Pharaoh who did not know Joseph and did not know what had gone on there. And the children of Israel are suffering persecution. Now, we don't necessarily have that here in the United States, but that does go on in other countries.
For sure.
There's these things. And, you know, here we are thousands of years later and the same thing's still going on.
I think one thing that really stuck out to me that had never stuck out to me before reading this is, man, he's really letting them suffer. Like, what's going on with that? But then if you dive into the actual words, it says, but the Israelites were fruitful and multiplied greatly and became exceedingly numerous.
Yes.
And even later, it mentions the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. And my takeaway from that was, wow, even in the most awful circumstances, God can still be with you and blessing you, even in those tumultuous times of life.
And that was his promise to Abraham. He said, I will bless you. And he asked him to look up at the stars and said, can you count the stars? They're numerous, and that's how many children, that's how many descendants you're going to have. So this is, we're seeing this fulfillment of the promise, but under very difficult situations. And sometimes in our lives, we're okay. That's not so bad. That's not so bad. And you will tolerate things, but when it gets oppressive, that's when you start praying. That's when you go, God, I need your help. God, I need you to deliver me from this situation.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what's going on with the Israelites.
Sometimes you have to be brought to your knees to act or to get ready to change. Because like you said, if things are comfortable, maybe they're not great, but you're okay, then you're just willing to stay in the mediocrity of it all. And God doesn't want mediocrity for you. He does not want that for your life.
He does not want that. He has more for you. And not only just for you, but the more in your life is going to touch other people's lives.
Yep.
And so there's going to come a shaking. And this is definitely what's going on down in Egypt.
And really, because he was blessing them and they were fruitful and multiplied, that's really what got Pharaoh so distressed, like out of his jealousy and fear that they would overcome him.
Yes.
You know, and so, that's really why he made the decisions that he made to treat them so poorly, unfortunately.
Well, and a lot of insecurity, a lot of jealousy. You know, we can go back and look at all these things, but notice he wanted the sons thrown into the Nile and not the daughters.
Yeah.
So there was an understanding Maybe he didn't voice it. Maybe he didn't write it down, but the deliverer was going to be male, and it was really close to time for him to show up. Yeah. And so that began, and even Herod did this. When Jesus, there's a correlation there where he went looking, where's the deliverer? And then he had the children killed that were 2 years and under. Mm. So this is what's going on, taking the children and throwing them in the Nile. And perhaps at another time, we can talk about the symbolism in that and what the Nile represents, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, yeah. During this time when they were oppressed and they were crying out to God, I imagine because of the time lapse that had happened, there were probably moments where they felt like God wasn't listening. And so something that I wanted to ask you, like while I was reading this, is, well, have you ever felt that there was a moment or a time in your life where God wasn't listening?
Well, yes, of course. Yes, of course. And, but then there's the explanation. At the times that I felt this was when I was smaller and there was chaos in the house, or when I was experiencing a low time in my life, and I would pray and it didn't look like anything happened. So I computed that to God's not listening. Hmm. But in those times when I didn't think he was listening to me, I discovered his character, just like you know who your friends are. But right. When I say I was younger, I was younger in the point, you know, when you have children and they want something. Oh, can I have this? Can I have this? Can I have this? And you give it to them. It pacifies them for a while.
For like a second.
If you don't give it to them, they compute it to, you don't love me. Mm-hmm. You're not listening to me. Because that's the mindset of someone young and inexperienced. And so when I was young, a child, but also in my beginning stages of following God, I really thought he wasn't listening because my behavior was, hey, I need this, give it to me. Hey, I need this, give it to me. The thing is, God always has a greater purpose for us. He's always concerned about our best, not our comfort in the current situations, not just that moment. He's concerned about the future. He's concerned about eternity. And if you're not comfortable right now and it does something really good for you, then that's going to be okay with God. So there have been times I thought he was not listening to me. But now that I'm older, I know that he was. And not only was he listening, he wanted me to be the best I could be. So does that answer your question?
It definitely. And I'll have to say that when I was thinking of this and wondering what you would say, I was contemplating it in my life too. And I have to tell you, I feel extremely guilty because really my answer is a little different than yours. It's, I feel like it wasn't so much he wasn't listening, but I wasn't asking. Huh. I think there have been, I have gone through periods of my life, particularly adult life, where I just get busy and wrapped up in my own thing. And I just kind of shut myself off from, honestly, not even just God, but a lot of people in really busy seasons of my life. Like when I was going through grad school, I just completely shut off a lot of relationships. And that's definitely not the best way to go about things, because you want to surround yourself with people who support you and love you, and you need those to thrive. But I really feel like most of the time when it wasn't that God wasn't listening, it's just I wasn't even asking. I wasn't communicating. I wasn't seeking him. I was just trying to deal with it myself, because I guess I think that I can. And well, and there are times where you can't, and you don't need to. Like that's not what he wants for you.
Well, And again, I think that that's a maturity level. When Katie, my daughter, was little, her motto was, I can do it myself. She always wanted to do it herself. And I mean, have you seen children? They're just a couple of months old and they want to feed themselves. The disaster that takes place. I think God lets us go through that because at some point we're going to go, maybe I can't do this by myself. And He created us to be in community. He created us to rely on each other, to be in a loving, kind relationship with people.
Yep. Which is probably why He created us in the first place.
Yes.
You wouldn't do that if you didn't want to have those relationships. So I've never really thought about that, but that's kind of interesting.
And I was going to say, and that's what prayer is. You know, when you pray and you talk with God, God already knows. He knows everything, but He really enjoys listening to you talk to Him. And then His reply, it's a conversation, and He enjoys that. He is not upset or put off if you have doubts on things. He really wants to enlighten you. Mm-hmm. And so that, again, I think is another part of community, another part of us coming together where you and I are talking to each other now, but that's basically what He also wants me to do with Him, but not just me and Him, everybody. He enjoys that.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this little story because there'll be times I'll read scripture and I go, I don't know what that means. I'll even put a question mark by it and date it. And I'll say, I don't get that. And so I'll be trucking along. And one day I was at work and I was in the ladies' room and I was washing my hands. And when I washed my hands, I went, that's what that means. It just, all of a sudden I knew. And I just had this picture in my head that in heaven, God is up there and He goes, shh, everybody be quiet. Rita's about to get it. And then I go, oh, and then I'll just point my finger up and I'll go, you're so funny. Now I get it. So I think sometimes He's just like, she's going to get it. Oh, today she's going to get it. Everybody, you ready? Watch this. Now that's my little thing. I'm not saying that's the gospel, but that's kind of how I'm going, oh, so I finally got it, huh? Finally got that one.
Or when you think you do, and you're like, oh, yeah, I've got it. And then you realize months later, no, I didn't.
No, I didn't. Well, that may be for that little short time. Which is why the word is alive. It's living. And what it means today is exactly what it means today.
Yeah.
But it will change. It's not necessarily, it's alive. It's growing. It matures. So that's what the word is.
All right. So moving into Exodus 2, we have the birth of Moses. My main takeaways from this little section were, one, you get to the history of Moses and the fact that he was born a Hebrew. I'll just say, like, reading this as a mother hits so differently than reading this before I was a mom, because my daughter is my greatest asset. Like, I love her so much, and I can't imagine being forced in that situation. But my takeaway from this is sometimes you have to do really hard things in the best interest of your children, because she gave him a chance. She gave him a chance to live, and, you know, thank goodness she did, because look at what happened as a result.
And there's so much happening here. I'm going to try not to get too deep. Okay. But the basket and doing the tar and all that, it relates back to Noah and the ark.
Hmm.
He was put in that ark and he was put on the water, very similar to Noah. And once you study that, you'll see that pattern and you'll go, uh-oh, something's happening here. Okay. So there's that. The second thing is the mother noticed she already had two other children. This was her third, and I'm sure she did not want her child to die.
Yeah.
But of everything that was going on, there was something different, and the timing. And I'm going to correlate this to you and I doing this podcast right now, because you call me, there's something different. There's something I need to do. You paid attention. Your thoughts, your feelings were different. And that's something I think our listeners need to pay attention to. God's going to get your attention. And he got her attention. And then not only was he saved, he was put into the very place that were killing them. I mean, it was Pharaoh's daughter, Pharaoh, the one who's having these children killed. The daughter brought him in. Yeah. Of course, and I mean, God can work around it. He can work around it and even turn your enemy into someone who protects you. And we can't see how important this is until we get the rest of the story. But just that part, just that entire part is pretty amazing. The sister was there. She said, hey, you want me to go get somebody that'll feed the baby? Yeah, go get this baby. Okay, well, here's a woman who happened to be the mother. And then she gets to keep her baby. And it worked out.
Yeah.
It will work out when it's God's plan.
Yeah.
And you got to listen. You got to pay attention. But in it, you know, we see who the mother and the father are. They are coming from a particular tribe. Very important. Okay, so there's all these triggers that later on in other stories you go, okay, I see. So I really wanted to bring up the part about Noah and the ark and all that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's a good point. All right. So then we move on and Moses grows up. He flees to Midian. And I labeled this as Moses is a little Harry Potter-esque, which is probably a hot take or somebody wouldn't necessarily think of, but I think there are three examples of Moses interjecting when he sees injustice. And to me, being like a huge Harry Potter nerd, I was like, oh, that's kind of like Harry. He would definitely be a Gryffindor. And I think also throughout this, you really see that even though he was taken in by an Egyptian family, he still very much associates himself as a Hebrew, which is probably somewhat telling about his growing up life.
What he experienced with his birth mother, those formative years still carries on. Yeah. There are some people who probably get a bad knee-jerk reaction to the Harry Potter thing, but my goodness gracious, what great storytelling and analogy and symbolism. And there's so much you can glean from it. And this is one of those stories. And he grows up and he's torn.
Yeah.
Is he an Egyptian? Is he a Hebrew? But there's something in him, in his DNA, that wants justice.
Yes. I think that's why he was chosen. I think that's why God, he knew that about Moses. And that's why he was chosen to play out the role that he did, because that was clearly so important to him. Because like I said, you've got the three different instances of where he is intervening and stepping in to stand up for people and for what he felt was unjust.
Yes. And then the reaction of the people that he was protecting was, are you going to kill us too? You're going to do what you did? And isn't that fun when people come at you? Those. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are?
Yeah.
So Moses fled.
Aren't those the digs that cut the deepest? The ones that are rooted in somewhat some truth that you believe?
Right. Well, and I'm going to probably say this a few times. This is one of my favorite sayings that I heard. And it is that rat poisoning is 99% cornmeal. You can eat it. It's 1% strychnine, and it's that 1% that will kill you every time. Mm-hmm. And so that poison hit Moses, but he also knew if these people know about it, Pharaoh's going to know about it, and he's going to come after me, and he's going to kill me.
Yeah.
And so he fled, and you think, so much for that one. I thought this guy was going to be the deliverer, and now he just ran away.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what it looks like at this moment, but it's not time.
No.
It's not time.
But it's about to be.
But it's about to be. And so Moses sees a burning bush.
Mm-hmm.
It got his attention. God knows how to get our attention.
I think his reaction is really strange, though. I just putting myself in his shoes, thinking about if I saw a burning bush and that burning bush was calling out to me, my response would not be, here I am. I think I would just run away. I would have ran. I would have been afraid and probably felt like I needed to take a nap. So his reaction, here I am, from the get-go was pretty interesting.
Yeah, but I think there's something to this. He was, what is this? There is something to this. And I think I mentioned to you when we were preparing for the podcast that you need to look at that word, the Hebrew word for bush. It's very similar to, it takes you back to the Garden of Eden, to the tree of life, to the tree. And so, you know, if you're someone that likes to dig deep, look at that. And so this voice calls and he knows Moses. He knows who he is. It got Moses' attention and a conversation is starting. Now, it's one of those things. Now, if I'd have known, I'm sure Moses was thinking, now, if I'd have known it was going to work out this way, I probably wouldn't have gone and looked at that bush because his life is about to change.
Dramatically, yes.
Mm-hmm. When you have an encounter with God, it is not so that you have goosebumps and warm fuzzies and have a story to tell. There is a purpose in it. And he has your attention. And you guys are about to have a conversation. And when you leave, you will not be the same. You may be very similar, but things are changing. And the way that you used to be will not be. That Moses on that mountain talking with God in the burning bush is not the same Moses when he gets to the mountain after going to Egypt and leading the children out. It's Moses, but it's not the same Moses. His mm-hmm. reactions are not the same. You know, the encounter, when you encounter God and he starts dealing with you because he loves you, you will not be the same. And his purpose is that you have life and life abundantly. You're going to have to make a choice. Are you going to change? Moses had to make a choice. Is he going to do this? Now, he tried to back out of it, as we will see. He definitely tried to back out of it.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, I don't blame him. I relate to that. And when I felt I was being called to do this podcast with you, I mean, as I said last week, my first reaction was, yeah, I don't want to. That's fun, but no, I'm good.
Yeah.
That kind of leads me into thinking about, has there ever been moments in your life when God called you to do something, but you didn't answer? Or maybe you did eventually, but you didn't want to originally.
Well, and again, the short answer is yes. There have been times when I know God is calling me to do something. And I can remember one particular time when I can tell you exactly where I was. I was driving home and I had stopped in front of the Alabama Power building. And I said out loud, I said, now, God, I don't want to do this, and I'm going to not do this right now, but you and I both know that you're going to give me a little time, and I'm going to come around, and I'm going to say yes. So can you just let me, you know, flounder out here for a little while? And now the thing is, I can't tell you what he asked me to do. I can just tell you what my response was. And so there are times when I go, I really don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. And generally, it's because there's an area in my life that there's a stronghold. There's something in it. I don't want to forgive somebody. I really actually like mulling over what they said to me and did to me. And can you just let me hang on to it for a little longer? You know, like a dog with a bone. But I come around because, I mean, if you really think about it, this God created the universe. Ask me to do something. Is it really wise to say no?
Yeah.
But me being me, I'm like, can you just give me a moment? Can you give me a little bit? You know, I think that we were talking maybe on Tuesday and you said, hey, do you want to record on Thursday? And I said, ooh, you're going to have to give me a minute. And I will even shake my hands and go, oh, I don't know about this, but I'll come around. I really will come around, and I'm glad that God loves me and accepts that. And I think he probably starts in a little in advance saying, oh, she's going to need about 2 weeks on this, so I'm going to go 2 weeks out, and then she'll be ready when it's time. That's, again, my thinking. So, yes, there have been moments in my life when he's called and I didn't answer. But I do want to also say this, that there have been times when I thought he was calling me. Mm-hmm. And I missed it. And there have been times I would do that. I would do something, and then in the process of it go, ooh, I don't think this is God. And then I would get confused. Well, how do I know if it's God? How do I not know if it was God? And then you do this vicious mind game. Is it God? Is it not? I missed it before. Am I missing it again? And then, I would get to where I'd have difficulty sleeping over this. So I cried out to God and I said, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And he said, Rita, it's my job to speak to you so that you understand me. And I know you, and I made you, and I know how to talk with you. Yeah. Your job is to listen. And so I realized that if I was saying, oh God, I don't know if this is you, and I wasn't sure, if I wait long enough, he'll let me know again, because that's his job.
I think I experienced something really similar to that when I was contemplating leaving teaching. So I taught high school level math for about 6 years. And when I started teaching, like when I started my teaching career, my first couple years, I loved it. I look back on those years and they were some of the best career-wise years of my life, because the relationships that I made from those, it was just so much fun to show up to work, and so much laughter. And then time progressed and I moved around, and my last year of teaching was very different from my first year of teaching. And some of that is due to just, I think, some society changes that have happened in the last decade. And then I think others are due to more administrative red tape that had really took place, particularly in math. I wanted to teach math because, one, I loved math, but two, there's so much problem solving, and that is so beneficial in preparing people for life. I mean, if you can work with numbers and you can solve complex problems, that's really going to help you out later on in life. Education seems to be trending so far away from the impetus being on preparing students for the world and fostering relationships, really the betterment of the student. And it turned into this, well, what's their test score and what's their growth percentage? Because that's all that really matters. And I noticed my last year of teaching, I was coming home so discouraged and just spent, emotionally, exhaustingly spent. There wasn't any joy. And I don't want to say that it was all bad, because I had so many good students who I did have a good relationship with, and I knew that I was making a difference for a lot of students. I mean, that's why you go into teaching, is to have that impact. And so I felt a lot of guilt when I started to feel like this just isn't working out. It's not what's best for me. It's not what's best for my family. I can't come home and be what I need to be for them. And that's not fair. And so I really wrestled with, am I just being a sellout? Like, am I just looking for something that is selfish for myself, but it won't benefit others? Or am I just looking to make more money? Like, I really wrestled with that and felt a tremendous amount of guilt, because I knew that I was making a difference in my current career. And I just had to let that go and realize that while, yes, I was making somewhat of a difference, that didn't mean that that's all that God had planned for me, and that he can call and lead you to do other things that also serve a great impact, even though maybe on paper it doesn't sound like it will. So I definitely felt that way. I was just in such conflict because I didn't know what God was telling me to do, and felt like it was selfish of me. And eventually he showed me that no. And ultimately, I know he wants what's best for me and my family. And that just was not it.
Well, and that's trusting the unknown future to a known God.
Yeah.
And how much do you know of God that you can trust? And so this is really, this is perfect, Lydia. And when God knows how to get our attention, for Moses, it was a burning bush. God knows how to get your attention. He knows how to speak to you. And so if there's this thing that you can't escape, stop and say, okay, God, I'm listening. What's it going to hurt for you to say that? Mm-hmm. Then there's the call. If this is God speaking to you, then the next thing that's going to happen is you're going to get the call. And that's Exodus 3, verse 10. I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people out of Egypt. There was a plan, and that was the call. Then chapter 3, verse 11, the listener, Moses replies, and they have a conversation. So Exodus 11 and 12, Moses says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Egypt, bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And God says, because it's a conversation, God didn't say, shut up, Moses, I'm talking. He didn't. He said, but I will be with you. But I'll be with you. You're not going alone. And this shall be the sign for you that I will send you when you have brought the people out of Egypt. You shall serve God on this mountain. Now, that's a real big old condensed version of what happened because it's about to be 40 years. And God didn't give him, and then you'll do this, and then they'll do this, and then you'll have to do this, and then this will happen. He didn't. He's basically saying, I'm calling you. I made you for this. For this time, it's going to be good. Trust me. When you get through it, it's going to be really good. But not a whole lot of information. He tells him, and then Moses says, he starts making excuses. If I go to the people, because I know these people, he's reminding me, hey, I know who these people are, and blah, 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 blah. And he starts making all these excuses.
Yeah.
And
what
God,
if they don't believe me?
Right. And so God says, well, let me tell you who I am. Now, obviously, you don't know who you're talking to here. I am who I am. I am that I am. I'm it. There's not anybody above me. I've got this. Say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent you. I am Yahweh.
Yeah.
What do you need? I am that. You need a deliverer? I am that. You need a defender? I am that. You need comfort? I got that too. So God is having a conversation with Moses and saying, let me help you know who I am. And when God calls us and we have doubts, he says, let me show you who I am. In this process, Moses gets a really good understanding and sees God.
Yeah. And it's kind of like God knew that Moses didn't fully get it. So then he says, what's that in your hand?
Yeah, that's my favorite thing. That is one of my favorite scriptures. He's making all these excuses. I can't do this because of this. I can't do this because of this. And God said, what's in your hand? And Moses said, well, it's a staff. He said, I'll use that. I'll use that. And there have been difficult times in my life. This is life. It's going to happen. And when I'm faced with a really difficult situation, I go, now what's in my hand? And I want to give an example of that. When I did the interview with God, and Simon and Schuster, the Free Press, reached out to me and said, you know, we'd like to put this in book form. You're going to need a lawyer. And I was like, I don't know a lawyer. What kind of lawyer am I going to get? I don't really know. And so I went, okay, what do I have in my hand? And I had just finished a project at the university, and I'd used this piece of music, and I'd gotten permission. I reached out to this person and said, hey, I'm working on this project. I'd really like to use this music. Will it be okay? And they said, yeah, we think it'd be great. And so I reached back out to this person. I said, hey, Simon Schuster reached out to me. And he said, yeah, we saw you made our local newspaper. And I went, okay. And he said, I know this guy who just wrote this book, and there's a lawyer in town. I'll reach out to him and get him to get in touch with you. And they did. And he had all the knowledge I needed for this particular project. And I just had to pay attention to what was in my hand. God has already given you what you need. Pay attention to it. A lot of the times it's relationships. A lot of the times it's going to be, I think I need to go talk to this person and they'll help me. And you know what? That's a huge thing. So Moses had everything he needed to go to Egypt to lead a large number out. And it was, God was with him and he had a stick. And later on that stick was used the first time it turned to a snake. The second time it was, Moses had it in his hand and he spread it out across the Nile and it turned to blood. And then another time it was raised and the sea parted. And then when they were going into the promised land, he held up his hands and the enemy was defeated. So we have what we need because God is with us and he has already provided it.
Yeah. And going back to that relationship component that you mentioned, you know, he says that Moses, that is, he says that, God, I'm slow of speech and tongue, continuing with his excuses. And he's like, well, your brother Aaron, you know, he's well spoken. I will provide the words for you to use through him. And I think that, again, just reiterates that he's putting people in your life with these gifts. And I think everybody has their own unique set of gifts that if we just stop and we take ourselves out of the rat race for one moment, we can get so spiraled into what's going on day to day. But if you just remove yourself from that and take a selfless view of life, you take your gifts and your skill set, and then you combine that with someone that you know who's got a skill set that you don't have. You just compound that on each other. Like, you can make such a tremendous difference and have such a tremendous impact. And I think that we all need to utilize, and I don't mean use people, but I mean really, really lean into our strengths, but also lean on others who are given gifts and strengths that we don't have.
Yes. And I think, this is my interpretation of it, I think God wanted to include Aaron all the time. And the conversation came around to it. God didn't have any problems with Moses questioning him and talking with him. It's when we completely disrespect God and go, there's no God. He's not concerned with that. That comes from a different place than where Moses was coming from. And it comes from a different place when we say, God, I really don't know. I don't have the equipment. The bandwidth's not too good. What kind of software are we going to use? You know, he doesn't have problems with that because he'll reveal it. Once we set foot on the path, once you go, okay, and you put your foot on that path and you start, then everything comes to you. Yeah. And that happened to Moses. Aaron came out and met him.
Yeah.
And we kind of know the rest of the story, but I really want to dive into this. I really want to dive into the Egyptians' mindsets because I just recently started thinking about this, that they were the plagues. They were the 10 plagues, but they were pretty miraculous. They were 10 miracles. But how did you look at it? What was your viewpoint? And did the Egyptians have a chance to say, hold on here, I'm going to trust in God. We got this wrong. How the Egyptians reacted and how the Israelites reacted right before they were delivered from Egypt and start their journey into the desert.
Well, I think this is a good place for us to leave off from today and to pick up with next time, which I'm excited to get a little deeper into this.
Okay. Well, we're going to close in prayer and like for everyone who's listening to join us in this prayer. God, thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you know how to get our attention. Lord, I ask for those that are wandering and searching for answers, looking for direction, that you will get their attention and they will know that God is speaking to them. and they will know that you are with them, just as you were with Moses, just as you are with those who believe in you. And Lord, I ask that you guide them, that you direct them, that you encourage them. And we thank you for your love, for your goodness, for your mercy, for your faithfulness that reaches to the heavens. How high is that faithfulness? You are faithful to us. You will not leave us. You will not call us to do something that we are not capable of doing with you. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for loving me. I thank you for Jana. And thank you for this time and this opportunity. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. And we just want to thank you all for choosing to go on this journey with us as we are exploring change and seeing how that's revealed through Exodus and Moses' story. So we look forward to getting back here next week and diving into it a little deeper. And we hope to talk with you next week.